stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart? What fortress has the Lord put on your heart for us to just knock down and destroy in today's episode?
Kyle, the lies about God's refining fire. God's refining fire is being mistaught, misapplied, flipped upside down, and being taught 180 degrees backwards and outside the context of what God says is true. Because that's what the devil and his workers do. They craftily take the word of God and deceive it and flip it, calling that which is dark light, calling that which is evil good, and completely distorting the word of God. This is the topic we are going to discuss today.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bow before you, Lord God, at this time, and we pray in the name of Jesus for every ear that's out there listening right now. Father, we pray that you open their ears, their hearts, their mind, their eyes. Father, allow your word to pour like a rain upon them, O Lord. Nourish the soil of their heart. Clear out any and all stones. Help us to make that ground fertile, to grow your kingdom, O Lord God. Use everything that's said today, O Lord. Let it be your spoken words. Let it be spoken from the truth of your holy word through the inspiration through this teacher, O Lord God. Use it to the edification of the body, the growing of the body, and the furthering of your kingdom and your plans. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Kyle? It is the righteous. It is the holy. It is the godly who are going to see the face of God. They're the ones that are going to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Kyle, God has kindled his fire.
Yes, he has.
His fire is to burn up the chaff.
Yep.
To burn up the stubble.
Consume
the wicked.
That's right. It's a consuming fire.
Kyle, we do not want to be under the fire of God.
That's right.
We want to be a people who have been purified.
That's right.
A people who have been cleansed from all unrighteousness.
Cleansed.
So we can walk in holiness and in white garments and clean.
That's right.
Kyle, there's some people, the righteous man, that God will listen to their cry.
Yep.
Why does he listen to their cry? What does Psalm chapter 17 tell us as we begin reading in verse 1?
Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me. And you find nothing.
Kyle, he finds nothing? God finds nothing when he tests the heart of this man?
That's right. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped.
His feet do not slip.
I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech.
See, God will answer the righteous man, Kyle.
That's right.
God will answer the righteous.
That's right.
Kyle, if you turn over to Psalm chapter 26, and actually, even before that, Psalm chapter 18. Kyle, why is God going to rescue a certain man? Can you read verse 19 through verse 25?
He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute.
You know, one of the questions I have for people listening, would you call yourself a blameless man? Would you call yourself pure? Are you confident in the statement that Yahweh, your God, is going to reward you according to your righteousness? According to the cleanliness of your hands? Because you keep the ways of God. You do not depart from his ways. You are blameless before God. You keep from sin. Is that you? If it's not, maybe it's because you have not experienced the power of God in your life. Maybe you have not been cleansed from all sin. Maybe you haven't received the new heart and the new spirit that we discussed in those episodes. If not, then you should be very fearful, because God's fire will come upon you in hell to burn, extinguish, and consume the sinners, to remove them from his holy kingdom. You see, the grace of God wants to change you. It wants to convert you. But God will not let you remain the same. The problem is, many people aren't coming to God in that faith because they don't know that that's what God requires. Let's go look at some passages now about how God's going to use his refining fire and what happens to people that are touched by this fire. Kyle, in Isaiah chapter 1, probably sounds familiar. We've covered Isaiah chapter 1 in many different episodes that we've done.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, the whole chapter 1 starts with the people that God declares, with using terms of endearment, as being his sons. Kyle, what has God done with these sons in verse 2?
Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up.
Ah, God has reared and brought up sons. Kyle, you would think that if God is bringing it up, surely there's going to be a positive result. But what does God say about these sons?
But they have revolted against me.
They've revolted against God.
An ox knows its owner, and a donkey his master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand.
Kyle, what's the problem with these people? Why does God say they don't understand? What is their problem? What are they weighed down with?
Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity.
You mean God's not pleased that they still have sin, that they still do evil?
Offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly.
So people who still struggle with sin, that can't escape it, God's going to accuse them of what?
They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel.
But even though if they pray to God, is God going to count that as them turning to him?
They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion.
So God accuses them of rebellion. But Kyle, a loving son that he tried to bring into this discipline, did God not strike them?
The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. Not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil.
So here we have a people. God tried to get their attention. Now, we did a really good episode on this, and let's see, the God's word is profitable, and one of the things was for discipline. Yep. The discipline of God makes the path straight, and I believe we also did one on the struggling son. We cover a lot of this, and this is another one that's significantly mistaught in the churches today. But the problem
continue in rebellion.
That's right. And the problem is when God strikes to get your attention, right, with his rod, and you don't respond to the rod of discipline. Kyle, now is where the bad part comes.
That's right.
Because if you don't come into the discipline of God, you come under the fire of God.
That's right.
Kyle, what did he do to their cities?
Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers.
How many people did he leave alive after he brought his judgments in verse 9?
Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah.
Wow. So this is talking about basically, Kyle, how many people were rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah? And what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he pour out on them?
He poured fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone.
It utterly destroyed that city to it is as if it is the desert in Moab.
Kyle, that's a judgment of fire.
Right.
You don't want to have the
destroyed
fire of God come upon you because you didn't come into the discipline of God.
That's right.
So he accuses these people who were his sons. He refers to them as what kind of rulers? Verse 10.
Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah.
Listen, all you out here who are listening. Many of you I know for a fact are being led by rulers of Sodom and rulers of Gomorrah in the eyes of God. Rebellious, wicked leaders who are polluted, are not blameless, are not pure. Oh yes, they come before God with their sacrifices. They come before God with their offerings. They come before God in prayer. And they come before thinking that they lead a holy assembly to honor and worship God.
But it is a nasty, stinking smell to his nose.
Kyle, he hates it.
He hates it.
He takes no pleasure. Kyle, what does he say these people do when they come before him in these courts in verse 12? What is he going to accuse them of?
When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts?
Does he accept their offerings, Kyle?
Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me.
What does he think about their gatherings on the Sabbath?
New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity.
So God doesn't like their iniquity, Kyle.
That's right.
Does he like their festivals and celebrations before God in verse 14?
No, he does not. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts.
Okay.
They have become a burden to me. I am weary of hearing them.
Kyle, does he listen to their prayers?
So, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood.
So you who are listening, do you see how God describes a people who still comes before him with a stain of iniquity and sin because they can't escape it? Because they didn't hear about the true promise that God wants to convert you and make you into a new creation? God wants to make you into a holy person? Please, do not be arrogant. Do not be prideful. You need to humble yourself if you still have sin in your life. You do not know God Almighty. He is a holy God. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads people in light that produce one kind of fruit.
That's right.
Do not listen to the lies of the weakness of man that say you cannot overcome sin. That is a lie of the devil. The devil will preach that message.
That's right.
But the power of God does one work. It destroys sin. It crushes and destroys the works of the devil. The Spirit of God overcomes and does not allow the works of the devil to continue in a man of God's life or a woman that is a daughter of God. Now, God wants to remove your sins. He wants to pardon them all. He wants to convert you. But you cannot continue in sin. This is not some magical cloak. It's whether or not you experience the power of God in your life.
Life change.
That's what it means to wash yourself and make yourself clean. What does God say is required, Kyle? In verse 16.
Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says
God
the Lord.
Wants to reason with you.
Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool.
But there's a conditional if. Just as he said before, are you going to cease from doing evil? Can you remove the evil deeds from the presence of God's sight?
If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land.
Kyle, if people don't, he's going to accuse them of something.
That's right. But if you refuse and rebel,
you'll be called a rebel.
You will be devoured by the sword.
You see,
truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
That's right, Kyle. But you know, as you keep looking, God looks at the faithful city. It's not faithful anymore.
How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice
once was
righteousness once indulged, once lodged in her.
God wants righteousness. God wants justice.
But now murderers.
And we covered, God judges you according to the thoughts of your heart.
Your silver has become dross.
This person wasn't pure.
Your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them.
So, Kyle, God is going to do something. You see, if you are not a righteous man, you cannot walk in righteousness. You still have evil deeds in your life. You have not been cleansed. Well, you know what? God's going to call you something. You're going to be his adversary, but God's not going to let the adversaries remain.
That's right. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one over Israel, declares, "Ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes."
Kyle, how does God relieve himself of his adversaries, these enemies of his?
"I will also turn my hand against you,
and I will smelt away
your dross as with lye, and I will remove all your alloy."
You see, God's going to remove the wicked. He's going to remove his adversaries. He's going to remove his enemies. He's going to remove the rebel. He's going to remove the sons who have rebelled and not come into obedience.
The murderers, the thieves.
You want to be melted away? You see, the melting away is the removal and cleansing and the purging of the wicked, the people, so that only a certain kind of people remains,
Kyle. Restored. "Then I will restore your judges as at the first."
Because the current judges are corrupt.
"And your counselors as at the beginning."
Because they're corrupt too.
"After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness."
Well, what's going to happen to the sinners, Kyle?
"But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end." You know, it's interesting there. They're all lumped in there. Transgressors, sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. This is the same if you're a transgressor, a sinner, you're forsaken God.
Well, and that's what he's going to accuse them of.
Yep.
You cannot be the same thing. It's just like he accused the sons. They revolted. Why did they revolt them? Because their iniquity, they're a sinful nation. So he says, you have despised me. You have turned away from me. But the people are still coming to worship. The people are still praying. The people are still bringing offerings. But yet God's going to accuse them of rebellion. He's going to accuse them of turning away. He's going to accuse them of despising him. So you who are listening, I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you sing songs of worship. I don't care if you pray to God Almighty.
He ain't listening.
If you have not come in the truth, if you have not been cleansed, if you've been unable to remove the wicked deeds from your sight because you haven't entered into the power of God, you are a fraud, a liar, a deceiver, an enemy of God Almighty, and you will be purged as a sinner.
Amen.
And you will not enter into his glorious kingdom with the righteous. Stop listening to the lies. Kyle, God's message does not change.
No, it does not.
Let's turn over and look at another example of God's fire and melting of what he's going to do. We're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Kyle, in the book of Jeremiah, God talks about a people.
Yeah.
A people that's rebellious. A people that he has to blow fire on to purge the people. Now, we're going to cover a brief little glimpse, then we're going to get the full context. So to start, I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 28 to verse 30.
All of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as a table bearer. They are bronze and iron. They, all of them, are corrupt.
Kyle, they aren't gold and silver. What is God going to do to them?
The bellows blow fiercely.
Ah, God's going to blow fire! Judgment!
The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated.
See, God continues to take the wicked and take the wicked and take the wicked. But Kyle, they aren't separated because it's only wicked.
They call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them.
Okay, so now what is the context here? You see, many people thinking, okay, this must be a really wicked people. I'm not a wicked people. I pray to God. I seek him. I delight to know his way.
Yeah, this is the temple of God. This is the temple of God.
Okay, so well, Kyle, let's figure out what people are we talking about. Let's get some context.
Yes.
Backing up a little bit, why don't we start, well, first, you see, there's a problem with these people. Because even though these people continue to think that they serve God, God says that they have a problem.
Yep.
Kyle, there's so much in Jeremiah. I want to go all the way back, and I want
to
cover the very beginning.
Go to 7 because it's so fitting.
Okay, well, let me just highlight a couple things.
Yeah.
First, in Jeremiah chapter 5,
yeah.
It says in verse 23, "This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed." You see, the problem is the heart. Stubborn, rebellious. Kyle, what has turned away good from them in verse 25 of chapter 5?
25. "Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you."
Are there supposed to be wicked people among the righteous in verse 26?
"For wicked men are found among my people."
You see, Kyle, this is the problem, just like in Isaiah. So God's like, well, I'm going to punish. I'm going to avenge. You see, an appalling and terrible thing. Oh, they have prophets. Oh, they have leaders. They have priests. But Kyle, they are liars. They are deceivers. What does God say about these priests and prophets who claim to know God in verse 31 and 30?
"An appalling and horrible thing has happened."
Appalling and horrible in the eyes of God. God says the church is horrible and appalling to him. Why?
"The prophets prophesy falsely."
Falsely, they're liars.
"And the priests rule on their own authority."
Not according to the authority of God. And do the people accept it?
"And my people love it so."
They love it. They love it. They think they're worshiping God. They love to go to their church services. And God hates it.
"But what will you do at the end of it?" That's the question.
So, again, what does Kyle, what does God say this people does in chapter 6, verse 7?
Verse 7. As a well keeps its waters fresh, so she keeps fresh her wickedness.
She can't get rid of her sin. All she does is confess her sin every day and every night, and she thinks she has peace with God. Why? Because people are lying to this person. You see, God wants to give warning. Oh, God wants to speak. But what does God say about this people in verse 10 and verse 11?
To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it.
You see, this is what God says. But the people will argue with God. They'll say, oh no, but I do delight. Oh, I seek God. Oh, I come to worship. God's like, no, your ears are closed. You cannot hear. You're a reproach to me. God says, you have no delight in my word. You don't know it. And again, the true prophet of God, who is Jeremiah, what does God fill Jeremiah with against these people?
But I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in.
That's right. He's weary. So, Kyle, see, the problem is you have a priest, you have the prophets, but, Kyle, are they truly healing the people of God in verse 14 and verse 15?
They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace.
No peace.
They don't know what it means to have the real peace.
No, and Kyle, God tells them in verse 16, what do they need to do?
Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path.
Kyle, it's not a new path. God's ways don't change. It's not a new path.
Where the good way is, and walk in it.
Walk in it.
And you will find rest for your souls.
You can't walk in it. You won't find rest for your souls. And I'll tell people, Kyle, you'll tell people, we'll tell them this good news message. We'll tell them the blessings that God wants to give. And you know what they say?
That we will not walk in it.
They say, that's not the way. That's not the way. I'm under a new covenant. I'm under this. And they don't even understand that the ancient way is the new way.
And just... I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. You can't get loud enough, Sam.
No, you can't. You can't. Because God says, well, what does God say he's going to do in verse 19? What does God say he's going to do?
Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also.
See, now we're starting to get context, Kyle, into this fire, into this refining,
this
destruction of the wicked to remove them.
Yep.
God's going to destroy them. What does God say he's going to do in verse 21?
Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying stumbling blocks before this people, and they will stumble against them. Fathers and sons together, neighbor and friend will perish.
Kyle, they are going to perish. So, you know, God rejects this people. He rejects them. You know, as it says, right? Because the people aren't turning. The people aren't coming in to repentance.
Nope.
So he goes and says, he's going to bring a people from the north
yep.
to destroy him. What does he say in verse 22?
Verse 22. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people is coming from the northland, and a great nation will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. They seize bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses. Arrayed as a man for the battle against you, O daughters of Zion. We have heard the report of it. Our hands are limp. Anguish has seized us. Pain as of a woman in childbirth. Do not go out into the field, and do not walk on the road, for the enemy has a sword. Terror is on every side, O daughter of my people. Put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Mourn as for an only son, a lamentation most bitter. For suddenly, the destroyer will come upon us.
Kyle, but God's a loving God. Why is he causing them to stumble? Why is he bringing a destroyer upon them?
I have made you an assayer and a tester among my people, that you may know and assay their way. All of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as a tale bearer, They are bronze and iron. They, all of them, are corrupt. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain the refining goes on.
Because nobody repents.
But the wicked are not separated. They call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them.
You who are listening today, you've probably heard, you know, I grew up, I was taught the same thing. Oh, the refining fire. Oh, God's always refining me. You know, he's going to continue to be refined until the day he comes back. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? God does a work. He does a conversion.
A perfect
He converts
work.
You to the perfect man, the new creation. Okay? The old man is dead. Old things are passed away. New things have become new. But people aren't being taught the truth, Kyle.
No.
And so they think they have peace with God, and they are so clueless that God's wrath and anger and indignation is going to be against them.
Because the very men, Sam, that are teaching them have never experienced the true cleansing.
That's right. They can't believe in the truth because they don't have power in them. They're frauds.
That's right.
Kyle, in chapter 7, as you keep going, these people are coming to worship. What does it say they're going to do?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.
Now, these people that he's speaking to, are seeking to worship God or not? What does it say in verse 2?
Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter by these gates to worship the Lord.
So he's talking about people whose intention is to worship Yahweh, their God.
But not in truth.
But God says, no, you still have bad deeds. He's not going to let you dwell in his presence with bad deeds.
But this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.
Oh, he says they're trusting in lying words.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. You always hear pastors, oh, we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, da 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 da. No, no. You're right. You might be, and it's in judgment.
In the global
sense. In fire.
Yeah.
It's in the fire of purging because you're wicked. So God says, you have to amend. You have to amend. It's only if you do that God says in verse 7, I will let you dwell in this place and in the land. But behold, what does he accuse them again in verse 8?
Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail.
Kyle, can you continue to sin no matter what the sin is and come and stand before God and think that you're delivered?
No.
No. What does he say in verse 9?
Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and swear falsely? And offer sacrifices to Baal and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations?
God, he's going to accuse them of being robbers.
That's right. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord. He sees everything, Sam.
But Kyle, did he call to this people in verse 13?
And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer.
So what is he going to do in verse 15 to him?
I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brothers, all the offspring of Ephraim.
Kyle, is he even going to let people pray for this people?
As for you, do not pray for this people. And do not lift up cry or prayer for them. And do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you.
Kyle, he's not going to hear. And not only that, God's going to pour out something. What does he say he's going to do in verse 20?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I did not speak to your fathers.
What are you in chapter? Did you go back to chapter 1? What verse?
I was reading the verse you said. To
chapter 7, verse 20?
Yeah. Let me. Yeah. Start over there.
Chapter 7.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched.
That's right. So that's where God says, it had your burnt offerings and sacrifices and eat flesh, but is that really what God wants, Kyle? Is that what God wants? What does God really want? As you keep reading in verse 22 on.
For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices.
No, God doesn't want sacrifices and offerings. What does he want in verse 23?
But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God.
You want God to be your God? You better be able to get the Spirit of God so you can obey his voice.
And you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you.
That's what the Spirit of God and the new heart and the new spirit does.
That it may be well with you.
You can't do that. It will not be well with you. But yeah. Kyle, did this people obey?
They did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backwards and not forward.
So again, God says, did they listen in verse 26?
Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck.
Does God say they're going to listen and answer?
You shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you, and you shall call to them. Now, let me make this personal, people. I want you to hear this. You have to understand this. We are speaking all these words to you.
That's right. In obedience as God spoke it then. These are the words of God being spoken to you.
But you must listen. If you do not, you're doing the same thing they did. They did not listen to him. And you shall call to them. He will call to you. But if you don't listen, there's trouble.
What's God going to accuse them of in verse 28?
You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God or accept correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth.
What generation is God going to accuse this people of being? As you keep reading in verse 29.
Cut off your hair and cast it away and take up a lamentation on the bare heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath.
That's right. And God, what's going to happen to all these people in verse 32 and verse 33?
Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of the Slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth, because there is no other place. The dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will make to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to this. He will take away the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land will become a ruin.
So you who are listening, do you want to experience the fire of God as he refines the wicked to remove them out of his presence? This is what happens. This is what happens. You see, God wants you to choose life, people. The problem is if you reject this message, Kyle, what does God say people are going to choose in chapter 8, verse 3?
Chapter 8, verse 3. And death will be chosen rather than life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family that remains in all the places to which I have driven them, declares the Lord of hosts.
See, God's going to say that you're going to choose death. I don't care if you say you believe in God. I don't care if you say you follow your Lord Jesus. In the eyes of God, you will be choosing it death.
You still sin.
You see, God demands and requires repentance. It leads to holiness. You don't want to repent? Well, what's God going to accuse them of, Kyle, as you keep reading verse 4?
You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continued apostasy? They hold fast to deceit.
Not truth.
They refuse to return. I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right.
Does anybody repent, Kyle?
No man repented of his wickedness, saying, "What have I done?" Everyone turned to his own course, like a horse charging into battle.
You see, Kyle, this is the great tragedy. And, you know, as you keep going in chapter 9, again, God talks about this. He has to refine them. You see, there's nothing else he can do but to refine them. But what people don't understand is when he says he's going to refine them, he's going to slaughter them. Kyle, in chapter 9, verse 2, what does he say these people are?
Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them.
Why? What are they?
For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil.
You cannot continue to sin.
And they do not know me.
That's right. If you still commit sin, how can you claim to know God? How can you claim to know him when you cannot keep his commandments? You don't abide, as it says in 1 John. By this, you know that you have come to know me, if you keep my commandments. The one who says, "I have come to know him," but does not keep his commandments,
is a liar.
And the truth is not in him. You see, people, as it says in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 3, talks about there's two kinds of people. One is, have you purified yourself just as Jesus is pure? Or are you want the one that still commits lawlessness? Sin is lawlessness. You see, Jesus appeared for one purpose, to take away sin. Kyle, is there any sin in Jesus?
No, in him there is no sin.
Kyle, is anybody in Jesus sin?
No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him.
Kyle, does he also tell the people in 1 John not to be deceived?
Yeah. Little children, make sure no one deceives you.
You see, the one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Christ was righteous.
Amen.
But the one who still commits sin is of the devil.
That's right.
For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Do not deceive yourself. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to do what?
To destroy the works of the devil.
No one who has been born of God commits sin, because God's seed, the Holy Spirit, abides in him.
And he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
Have you been born of God, you who are listening? If you have not been born of God in the faith of what God requires and what he says he does, you will experience the refining fire of God as he consumes his adversaries and fire. Kyle, back to Jeremiah chapter 9. What verse were we in? Do you recall?
Let me get there. Everyone deceives his neighbor, does not speak the truth. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. That's in verse 5.
Oh, and so it says he refines them in verse 7.
Yep. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and assay them. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people?
What type of tongue do they have?
Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit.
But they say peace.
With his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly, he sets an ambush.
Oh, it
for
gets
him.
Back to the thoughts of the heart that defiles a person that Jesus taught.
That's right.
Is God going to punish them, Kyle?
Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself?
Kyle, the problem is they have no wise men. They have nobody that can understand. You see, Why does Kyle, why does he say he's going to bring this destruction on the land, the desolation, in verse 13? Why?
The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it.
How does he say they've walked according to what?
But have walked after the stubbornness of their heart, and after the Baals as their fathers taught them.
So what does God say he's going to do again?
Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them poisoned water to drink.
And God's going to scatter them until what happens to this wicked people?
I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them until I have annihilated them.
You want to be refined by God? Very well. He will annihilate you. You want to be annihilated by God? Continue to trust in deceptive words and lies, and not in the power of God that brings holiness and true repentance. It's your choice. As we read earlier in chapter 8, God wants you to choose life. But sadly, Kyle, many people, because of their stubbornness and unrepentant heart, they're going to choose death.
Speak to the people that are listening to you right now, Sam. The folks that have caught this maybe for the very first time. They're listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, no one has ever told me this.
So the people who are listening, what you need to do is you need to go look up the episodes that we did about the new heart and the new spirit. Look up the episode about what that is. We did like a 6-part series on the new heart and the new spirit. What you need to do is you need to understand the truth about what God wants to do. Oh, yes, God wants to cleanse you. He wants to purify you. He wants to remove all the sin from your life. He wants to fill you up with the fullness of God, the same fullness that dwelt in Christ, so you can walk in the same power, so you can walk in the same holiness, so you can be imitators of God and imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God wants.
Amen.
That is His purpose. That is His desire for your life today. It's just as it says what the grace of God is. Right? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness, to deny the worldly desires, but to live sensibly, righteously, godly today. Same grace of God in 1 Peter, the grace that we're to stand firm in, the true grace of God that we're to stand firm in, that it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. You go back and do a study on 1 Peter, and we did a study on this, true grace of God, stand firm in it. Find out the true grace of God is whether or not you're able to suffer like Christ, whether or not you've been filled with the fullness of God to be able to suffer just like Christ. You see, somebody who can do that, they say, that is your purpose. And a person who can do that is now in the grace of God. They follow the same example. They have no deceit in their mouth. They commit no sin. They utter no threats. They don't revile when being reviled in return. They live a godly, holy, and blameless life. They now walk in righteousness, as it says in chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter. Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we, being dead to sin, might now walk in righteousness. Not by our power, not by any righteousness that we were born with, no, but by coming to God in faith, letting Him cleanse us from all sin, filling us with all the fullness of God, the power of God, to now walk and abide in His holiness and His Spirit. You see, people, the Spirit of God only produces one kind of fruit. Good fruit. The Spirit of God only produces light. It does not have any darkness in it. The Spirit of God only produces fresh water that continually springs up and never ends. But the devil sows falseness and partiality. The devil will sow dark amongst the light. Bad fruit. Bitter water. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot have two natures. You belong to one, or you're still stuck as a slave of the other. Listen to the other episodes and get into your Bible. Let the Spirit of God guide and teach you and convict you.
and you will find the truth if you humble yourself to the words of God.
Kyle, I think we're going to split this into two parts because there's more parts I want to talk about in Malachi and Ezekiel.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll leave that because we covered a lot, and I want this to have time for people to let this sink in.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll close in prayer.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for your word. Father, you are a righteous God. Father, as you say in your word, you have indignation every day, wrath against the sinners who don't come in repentance. And we know, O God, in your word, that you desire true repentance. And Father, I pray that the people listening, that the fear of God will strike them, that they'll realize that you do a work. It's not about what we can do, because trying by the efforts of man cannot overcome.
That's right.
We'll continue to stumble, we'll continue to fail. It's an indication that we still have not come into your grace, O God. But Father, I pray that the people will... this final word will just sit in their mind. As you say in the final chapter of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 11 and verse 12. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to his deeds. Father, I pray that people find the Spirit of God, so they can produce the deeds and the fruit of God. So they will be a people that pass the test. And they will not be purged by your fire that will consume your enemies and adversaries on the day of judgment. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.